Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
The journey is a sequence of events that got us to where we are today. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It is what we look back on to appreciate how far we've come and decide where we want to go. Our journey prepares us for the next steps. Our journey is a testimony to others that they can accomplish the same things we have. They see the possibilities. Welcome to Journey Radio. Today, we have four guests who will share their unique journeys with us. First, we have Danielle Dickey, a 14-year-old entrepreneur. Next is Annie Warren, a recent graduate of ASU who found her passion in Special Olympics Arizona. Aaron Warren Dickey, a 25-year sales veteran and a recent broker of healthcare products. And then we follow that up with Steve Feld, a certified business coach and SCORE mentor. And he'll help us understand more about startups, small businesses, and medium-sized businesses. Welcome to Journey Radio. Well, we're going to start with a round robin of sorts. And we'll start with you, Danielle. Just tell us a little bit about your business and what makes it special.
Well, D&D Jewelry is a business that I started when I was about 11 years old. I've always been interested in jewelry and making small crafts, so I decided one day to try making cracked stone jewelry. What I would do, I would take these little glass beads, I'd put them in the oven, I'd take them out, put them in ice water, and they crack on the inside, and they get this beautiful design. I would then paint the bottom with nail polish and glue it to these rings, and I would sell them at usually farmers markets, and they would do very well. And after a while, I decided, hey, this is going well. Maybe I should make a business off of this. And I did, and eventually I expanded on into other things. And I've gone from there ever since.
My journey or my pathway to business, that the business that I'm currently in, came from reading a book about occupation. And occupation is basically what you do for a living is your occupation. And when you combine what you do for a living with what you're passionate about, that intersection of those two is occupation. So I've been selling, as noted, for over 25 years, and that's my occupation. But my passion is helping people. So I wanted to do something where I could combine my occupation with my passion, and natural products is that intersection. So that's why I sell natural products, because I can help people while making a living.
Yes. Annie?
My journey was a little interesting in that I never thought I'd be in the nonprofit sector and work or whatnot. I didn't think this was the path I'd take. I have a little brother with autism, and he is my entire light in my life, my world. When I was training to become a collegiate athlete, my little brother would wake up at 6 a.m. with me, go to the track at my high school, and go run with me. He was not as fast, not doing the sprints, but he made sure that every morning I was doing them, he was there running with me, doing the push-ups, doing the ab workouts, whatever. After, when I got finished playing college soccer, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. It's kind of in that hump that a lot of people get in. And then I pursued my graduate degree in sports law and business at Arizona State, and we needed an internship. I'd been my brother's Special Olympics coach when I lived in Utah. And then when I moved to Arizona, I actually just continued to volunteer here and help where I could at different events. When I was looking for a volunteer opportunity on the Special Olympics website, I saw that it said internship. And I was like, oh, I need this for class credit. Might as well knock two birds with one stone if I'm already planning on being there on the weekends. And then just fell in love with the organization, didn't know it was a career path. And as I got more involved, I was like, this is something I would like to do every day and make people smile and happy.
Steve.
It's funny because one of my mentors a couple of years ago actually woke me up, and I was already on my journey, and I didn't know it. And they kind of like set me straight in a way, because I was always having my own businesses, coaching and consulting companies, small, medium-sized businesses, and never saw myself as a coach or a consultant. I'm just helping businesses out grow their business. And I got the knowledge and the experience. And then one day he's like, why are you not doing this full time? Because that's what you're doing 60% of your time. Now, imagine if you put all your energy into it. And I'm very passionate about helping businesses grow. So then that was like my wake-up call. And I said, sold my last business and said, I'm going full-time, get certified as a coach. And I just love helping business grow.
I like what you just said about mentoring. That's probably why I'm where I am today, because someone kept pushing me forward or opening up the doors and making sure that I had the opportunity. Did you have the same thing with you, Warren?
Yes, throughout my life, I've had people that have given me the support that I needed in terms of ideas or just a little push to take a risk and to pursue dreams that I've had. And I wouldn't be here without the support of family members, friends, and just important people in my life that have helped me to just go out and do what I want to do and be successful at it.
Great. How about you, Annie? I know that you just started on your journey, but who inspired you or mentored you forward?
My inspiration is always just my little brother, Charlie. I know that he's the one with autism. And it was just always in my life, I felt like I had a duty to do something because mm-hmm. he was told his whole life that he wasn't going to be able to do things when he was born. It was like read, walk, talk, things like that. It was just like out of the realm for him. And then he always inspired me because he overcame all those obstacles. When they said he wouldn't go to public school, when he wouldn't talk, when he was 8 years old and wasn't potty trained, they're like, it's just out of the realm for him. And when I watched him overcome all those obstacles, it always inspired me to overcome any obstacle in my past.
Wow, his story inspires me. Danielle, who's pushing you forward, mentoring you into greatness?
Both my parents are probably my greatest mentor. My dad, since he has his own business, he knows how to coach me, and he's always giving me advice of how I can run it. He's always telling me how to talk to people, how to make good deals, and where and what would be the best ways to sell them. And there's my mom. She's just the most encouraging person. She always gives me love whenever I'm like frustrated with my ideas. She'll kind of encourage me or tell me to take a break and come back to it. She's just always there for me, and she's probably my greatest mentor and instructor.
I always like that because sometimes we reach out to like the sports star or the movie mm-hmm. star to find out who our inspiration comes from or who is our idol. But then it's so great to have that testimony as a parent that you're your child's idol or inspiration. So great. So we're going to keep this round robin going. Every journey begins with a why. And I'd like to hear from everyone what their why is and why they keep on the journey that they're on or why they even started it. We'll start with you, Steve.
Yeah, like I said, my why is I just love business.
Nice.
That's what really drives me, but it's the results. When I see a business owner who is struggling or just can't figure something out and we work through it and all of a sudden their business takes off and their life improves, mm-hmm. that's when it all comes together. It's like, well, that's why I do what I do, because that's the fun of it. I haven't seen anyone take the dive negatively, thank God. Let's keep it that way. But they will take a little dip at the beginning because they're putting so much effort into it. And then all mm-hmm. the results that you see is phenomenal. When you have their spouse come back to you and say, what did you do to my significant other to change their lives? Because now they're happier. We're taking a vacation. It's like, you're making more money too.
Right.
Like, then it all just like, well, this is what I do. This is what makes me excited. And that's what gets me driving every morning. So I love just the business aspect of it.
Yeah, and the personal satisfaction because you're Absolutely. In the middle watching everything come out better on the other side.
Absolutely. When mm-hmm. they come back and say to you, and they're like, wow, I got to take my first vacation. I don't know how many times I've heard that. It's like one of my questions is, when was the last time you took a vacation as a business owner? Oh, I can't remember. Okay, let's stop everything. Let's book a vacation right now. And they think I'm the craziest person in the room. Then we book it. And I said, now call your spouse and tell them that you're going on that vacation. Because now you're held accountable. Now let's get your staff together and tell them you're going on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I bet they'll be excited to get that. And they're going to own up to it and watch how they step up. You can leave your business and it will come back and it won't be burnt down. I promise you, it'll be okay. And then that starts the liberation process mm-hmm. of start managing your business, not living in it and being managed by it.
I like that. Start managing and not living your business. And that gets
life
them
short.
Out. Oh, life is short.
Let's have some fun and make some money.
Yeah, because that's part of it. I hear people say, you know, I don't want to own my own business, or I've seen my parents own it or other people, and it's a 24-hour gig and you get no life. And it's nice to hear that there's a possibility for a life outside of being a business owner.
Yeah. At the beginning, yes, you are your business, but there is that point. It does do the switch over where you start managing it and you could take a step back and breathe again and start going, wow, reap the rewards that you've built so hard.
Right. I like that. And I know that I've heard about your brother with autism, and that's probably mainly your why. So expand a little bit about your why, Annie.
Yeah, my why a lot is that I just wanted to find a job that was going to make me happy and smile every day, selfishly. Is that I felt like I was kind of doing a little daffle working in politics before, and I just felt like every day I came home and I was just grumpy. I was angry. I was like frustrated. There was just very seldom good days. And I just turned to my boyfriend. I said, I can't do this for a living. I am so unhappy. Like, I want something that's going to bring me joy every day. And then I found Special Olympics, and I always have had this connection to people with an intellectual disability, because they show you every day what it's like to beat the odds. Every single day when they do something, they're showing you that there's nothing that they can't do. And I mean, I saw that when I enter work every day, there's not a day I don't leave happy. I see inspirational stories every day I walk into my office. And my why is just, I wanted to be happy. And I see that happiness when I see those people reach goals that they never thought they'd be able to reach in their life.
That's exciting. I like that, because it's seldom that people find the job that they really love. I know my husband really loves his job as a magistrate in Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And that right there really touches my heart, that you're able to just find something that makes you happy. It takes me back to, I believe it was Oprah that said, you know, my friend Gail, she does the news every day, but I just can't do the news. And that equates to the politics. Yeah. I want to do something happy. She wants to talk to people, find out about different things that are going on. So then your life is probably healthier. Yes. Wouldn't you agree with me, Warren?
I would definitely agree. Happiness is something that can, or the happier you are with the work you do in life, it's going to affect your health. Mm-hmm. Because of stress. Stress sometimes can wear your body down and lead to certain illnesses. And so happiness at work can be good health to you.
Hey, great. Is that part of why you do what you do in the health industry?
It's part of it. It's again, the occupational aspect of it will be to make money.
Yeah.
You know, we love money. We need money. But the passion part is helping people. And part of that helping people is to give them information about products and brands, to give them information about their health and changing their lifestyle so they can be happier through their health. And that's something that I really enjoy. I have a lot of people that reach out to me for information about certain conditions or ailments that they have. And considering how we have the internet where people can just easily search for information, by the time someone gets to me, they've already done all the searching and they haven't found the results or the information they're looking for. And so I can provide some of my information and knowledge that I have over the years that can help them. And that's, it really feels good at that point to be able to help someone that is really in need of a solution for some of their health problems.
That's true. That's very helpful, because I know that if you know what cancer is, or you know as a doctor what maybe is going on with the stomach, that's different. But then when somebody comes to a healthcare professional, it's because that they're a little frightened about what's going on, because it is part of the unknown as the patient. So that's a comforting thing to have. Danielle, what is your why?
My why is similar to Steve. I basically just love what I do. I like making jewelry. I love beauty. I like being able to create something of my own and being able to share it and sell it with other people. I appreciate running a business because I can also learn responsibility. Mm. I started it when I was 11, when I wasn't responsible for everything, for anything. And I think it helps me as I got older, because running a business, I was able to become more responsible with other things. And I think I grew with it a little bit. So that's basically my why.
Oh, great. Can you tell me, because I'm interested, this is she started it at 11 years old. She's now 14, right?
Right.
And so what is your net worth? What is your net worth of your business?
My net worth?
Mm-hmm.
I have a Facebook account by the same name. It's called D&D Jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I put everything up on there. Mm-hmm. And I basically, my mom will ask some of her friends to check them out, and I'll get other people sometimes. And I have a business card, so I can sometimes give that to people. They'll talk to me and like, do you do anything? And I say yes, and I can just give them my card. And I make a lot of customers that way.
Right. So you do a lot of networking and talking.
Yes.
And it sounds like the social networking, is that the best avenue for you to get all of your information out there?
It's a good avenue, but probably it's best to talk with people up and personal. I go to a lot of farmers markets and shows, and I can set up booths there. People will always come up to me, and since I'm young, they'll be like, what are you doing? And I'll be able to talk to them that way.
That's really good, because they're probably looking at you saying, why is this 14-year-old here? Is she taking care of her mother's booth? But they're quite impressed when they find out that it's yours.
Yes.
Yes. And so that being said, what is the best way for you guys to actually reach out to individuals? Is it through social media or is it through your networking face-to-face, business cards?
Yeah, I prefer face-to-face, but because my business is on an online platform, that's how I interact with people. So it's through social media, it's through blogging, and that's the way I reach people. But I would prefer if I could reach them face-to-face, one-on-one, and have those great conversations about natural products in the industry.
Great. How about you, Annie? I know you have a great website.
Yeah, for us, a lot of the recruiting we do for volunteers for Special Olympics is via the online portal, just because mm-hmm. we are pulling. We have different areas set up throughout the entire state. We go south to Tucson, north to Flagstaff. And so that's a lot of area for us to cover. We're a small staff of, I believe, only 26 right now. So a lot of what we do is online. But what we'll do is when we have companies who come to us, we're interested, they're sponsors, we do those face-to-face. And we are lucky to get a lot of companies who want to send 80 employees out to an event sometimes. So it's a good mix. But a lot of what we do when we get individuals, it's the social media, the Facebook, and then directing them to our website.
All right.
Yeah, I'm more of a face-to-face kind of guy. It's more personable, and mm-hmm. I don't have a canned package for everyone, because everyone's business is really unique. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of networking, do my social media. I find LinkedIn is my best social media source for that. And then just getting out there and referrals. If I'm doing the right job, ask for the referrals.
That's true, because it's all word of mouth. I know my chiropractor, he says, no, I don't advertise in the yellow pages. No, not on. It's all word of mouth. And I trust me, when I call, I have to wait for an appointment. It took me a month just to get my first appointment. And that's the power of word of mouth. Wow. And like you said, it's all about the job that you're doing and taking pride in what you're doing. So, and how do you keep people engaged in what you do and wanting to come back to volunteer to work, to buy your cough syrup or your jewelry?
I think it's results.
Results.
For me, it's like we find a good target. Mm-hmm. What's our timeline to hit that target? And now we have a goal. Let's come up with a plan to hit it. Usually we exceed it,
right,
which is not so bad. But then it's the next. Now we got to that level. What about the next level? Mm-hmm. And they get to see the potential of it. It's like, wait a minute, how big can I make this thing? It's like, it's your dream. We're living your dream. How big do you want it?
Right.
And then some people I've had, because I do exit strategy too, because one day we do have to leave our business, unfortunately. But it's also exit strategy. That takes years to actually plan sometimes from financial point of view, personal point of view, and the business side with your employees and continuing the legacy. Or do you want to kill the legacy? And then we also do that. So it's like, great. I do have one client right now who is on an exit strategy. He's on okay, 3.5 years. I'm out. Just let's get there so I can walk away. Let's look at my taxes, everything. Mm-hmm. So we are bringing all the team together, CPAs, financial planners, the lawyers, the employees. It's like we're on the plan now.
Right, right.
And then I sometimes feel like I have the easiest job in the world, because sustaining our volunteers is really not even on me. It's the fact that once you go to one of our events and you see how inspiring and incredible these athletes are, once you interact with them, once you see them jumping off the diving block, running their race, they're crossing the finish line on an assisted wheelchair race, and you see them cheer with tears streaming down their face. I mean, that's the kind of thing that people want to come back for. And it's like, once we get you hooked, once you get to that first race, once you see that first medal ceremony, once you see how excited they are just to get a 7th place finish ribbon, that hooks you. I mean, it's so inspiring to go there. And I think a lot of the reason that we get volunteers is the same reason I work there. It's that happiness, it's that joy, it's that inspiration that you see from all these athletes just beating the odds every day.
For me, it's advertising and it's social media. So some of it's paid advertising and a lot of it is postings on social media, Facebook and Twitter, most particular. And it's to bring that awareness of the website and or the products that we offer on the website. So it's frequent and constant posting and advertisement, social media, all the different platforms that are available.
And do packaging with you play a big part of it?
It does. Some of the products that I feature, sometimes it's based on the packaging versus what the specific remedy is or what the popularity of the product is. If the product looks like something people expect or would like to buy, sometimes I'll lead with a product that has nice packaging. And that's just because it brings the people's attention to the product and allows them to click on it, click on the link, and learn more about the product.
Right. Because when I'm looking at, let's say, your products right now, I have it in my hands. I love this Kids Honey Works. And so, first of all, it tells me that it's natural because you have honey right there. And then it tells me it's for kids because we have the primary colors. So I'm pretty sure you got somebody to design it, but what caught your eye about the design for, let's say, the Honey Works cough syrup?
So for the Honey Works product, that's the item that I source. The importance of that is it's all natural and it's a popular product. There aren't a lot of products that are for young children as far as cough and cold products. A lot of the products years ago were recalled because they weren't age appropriate. The dosage was inaccurate. And so for natural products, those don't have those type of issues. So honey has been proven clinically to help with coughs and for colds. And so that's what attracted me to the Honey Works line of products. Just the fact that it's natural and the packaging is great. It's a high quality product and it's organic.
Right. And the organic is what brings parents back to the product.
That's right.
The kid gets well and plus he doesn't get sick again in the process, right?
That's right. Organic products are just growing exponentially in terms of popularity. The pricing is actually coming down where a lot of organic products are now competitive price-wise with conventional products.
Right. And can you tell me, Annie, kind of what got you started on the path that you're on? Like what education, what life experiences? Because, you know, I went into leadership and I thought it was going to be 1, 2, 3. But it's actually like dealing with personal relationships and all those types of things. So what kind of got you ready for where you are today?
Yeah, I think anyone who knows me will tell you I am a natural talker and just kind of the person that when it was a group project, like I was the one who was like, A, B, C, you do this, you do that. So that's kind of how I naturally fell into that. But being an athlete for all of my life, I've played soccer for 14 years, played college soccer at ASU. I think that really showed me the power of sports and what they could do in someone's life and really was how I got into that path is that I saw when I was at ASU, all of the amazing initiatives we were able to do on campus, whether that was about sexual assault, mental health, just the power that athletics has, it gives you this natural platform. People look up to athletes. It's also athletics is a way to help a lot of people elevate themselves out of poverty, bad situations. It gives them an outlet for bad home lives and just things like that. So I saw that as my pathway as well as when I was naturally going through athletics, I found that even though Special Olympics is a different type of sports organization, I find that it has the same thing that we oftentimes look to the NBA, NFL, WNBA, things like that, is it gives people an opportunity that they often wouldn't have. And it's a different path than your stereotypical, you know, you go and become a nurse or you do this. It's kind of like your arts on the side. Like people say like, oh, that's a weird pathway, but it's the same with sports. It's those unconventional pathways that oftentimes are great for people who aren't necessarily that type of focused, like nurse, doctor, lawyer, things we see like that. So that's kind of how I fell into that.
Yeah. It's like you're reminding me of a gentleman that was coaching my son in basketball. He was U of A. Sorry. But I remember him telling me that because of sports, he was able to go into business or he's able to work successfully in an office because of the confidence that it gives him. It's just something special. You can't always put your finger on it, but it's something that propels you forward into success.
Exactly. Right? And yeah, I can't put my finger on it, but just I just always felt like a lot of why I am the way I am was just those 14 years of grueling sports days that really led to a confidence and leadership skills that you just get from being around that atmosphere.
Right. And, you know, one thing that came to me probably the end of last year, because you have to have grit to do a lot of things. And I remember being sore. I played basketball for 1 year, right? And I remember working out and going through all the training and being sore and everything, but you still get up and you keep going.
Yep.
Is that part of it, that grit that you learn?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's those days when we're doing 3-a-days during preseason and you finish your last practice at 9 p.m. and you know you have to get up at 5 a.m. the next morning to hit 5:30 runs. And it's like, you don't technically have to be there. No one's forcing you to be there, but it's like, for some reason, you're going to be there that morning and you're going to run your butt off. You're going to run till you throw up. And it's, there's a kind of thing when you play sports that, and I think that's kind of the thing I miss is when you're not on a team anymore, it's like, you're never going to get yourself to run 120 yard sprints in 18 seconds again in your life. Like, I'm not going to force myself to do that. But when you're on a team, it's kind of like a lot in business. It pushes you to do things that you never think you'd be able, that you wouldn't just do by yourself. And that's a level of confidence that I think is so critical in playing sports or just finding something that you're passionate about. It really gets you to do things that you're past the brink and past the point where you think you can keep going and you still, for some reason, keep going.
Yeah, I believe people look at me and they go, oh my gosh, she showed up again.
She's back.
And they're going, how did she do it? Just by sheer grit and probably the support of others and a lot of prayer, I'm pretty sure. So, but I like that grit. You know, you can't give up. You got to keep moving forward. Can somebody else share with me how they got to where they are? Because I'm sure there's some education. There's a story about grandma saying something to you or something.
I think my family is a very big inspiration for me because I have a very big family. I have a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins, and a lot of them are also very creative. My great aunt Gina, she has her own jewelry. She doesn't have a business, but she's been doing jewelry for most of her life. She creates necklaces. I think she creates her own beads too. And I used to watch her work. I used to look at her art and I used to think, I wish I could do that. And that's probably what made me first think of doing jewelry, just watching her work and looking at it. And I remember when I first started, she was so proud of me. She would send me some of her beads and give me some of her supplies. And I would make jewelry for her and we would work together at times. And I think that probably watching her and being with her was what first got me into it.
Oh, great. And I'm pretty sure you can share this podcast with her so then she'll know just how much you appreciated it.
She isn't with us anymore, unfortunately, mm-hmm. but I can still share it with some of my other relatives who are also encouraging.
Right. That'll be that special conversation you have when you think about Gina.
Yeah.
So pretty awesome.
I'm sure they would very much appreciate it.
I think so. Warren, how did you get to where you are?
So in terms of just being the desire to be in business, when I was in college, at a certain point, I realized that I wanted to be in business. I was a history major. Hmm. I decided to go ahead and finish with my major in history, but I knew I would go into business. I figured if you could sell, you would get a job in business. And so I was able to sell. And that's how I got started in business. And from there, it's just been about selling. And some of the products I've sold have been with big companies and with there have been massive consumer packaged goods brands that have sold in the billions of dollars. And at a certain point, I realized I wanted to sell something that was healthy and I wanted to have more control over what I was selling and the impact that it had on people's lives. And so that's why with the natural products business on my website, I can sell what I want. And if I don't like the ingredients that a product has, then I won't sell it. And so then I can offer people products that I think are good for them, products that I would take for myself or for my family, offer them. And so that flexibility is something that's great to have. But I just the desire to sell people good products is what drives me every day.
Right. And then you said sales. Yes. And you've been in sales for 25 years.
That's right.
What have you learned about sales and how do you do it? How do you keep doing it year after year and be successful at it?
A lot of it comes with experience, and with sales, experience and results is very important. So I've been able to deliver results and I've been able to stay in the business to gain that experience to help me to be successful. And so I've learned over the years that you build connections with people. So mm-hmm. selling online, I don't build connections directly with a lot of my customers. It's anonymous. But I build connections with the distributors, with the suppliers, with the manufacturers and owners of a lot of these companies. And so those relationships allow me to be more knowledgeable about the business, to be able to learn about the latest hot trends in the industry, and then turn around and provide my customers with products that are of the best quality at the best price and that are on trend with what's going on in the industry.
Oh, great. So then you're looking at the trends yes. and you're looking at what the customer really wants, and that's what you provide.
It's very important. A lot of the brands in the natural products industry now are providing more clinical research studies to help back up a lot of their claims. And that's very important. And so a lot of what I do is try to gather those claims and put that information in blogs or share that information via social media to ensure that a lot of people that may be skeptical of natural products and their efficacy have those clinical research studies to validate a lot of the claims that are being given out about the products. And so a lot of times I will avoid products that have sensational claims. If someone says, well, apple cider vinegar will cure cancer, well, I'm not going to support a claim like that. And so I won't sell a product or I won't advertise a product for something that I know is not proven. And that's a lot of what I do now in terms of making sure that the information is clear, that it's useful, and that it's reliable to match the products that I sell.
That's great. I remember my daughter, she was sick. I think she might have been, she was maybe 8 or so. But I was looking at my vacation time going. It was like on week 2. The doctors are looking and even the medication wasn't working. They were talking about a spinal tap. And I'm going, oh, no.
Wow.
Yes.
That's scary.
So we know that from history, there's always in a family where you have this remedy. And my grandmother was into herbs and everything like that. And so I picked up the phone and I said, Grandmommy. And she says, take this, this, and this. And it was cleared up in no time at all. And I think people forget that herbs and natural items such as honey, they're all medicine.
They are.
Right.
And that's the origins of the name of the business, Meds from Nature, just the awareness that nature creates its own medicine through herbs and supplements and vitamins and minerals and homeopathic remedies. Those are the type of products that I sell. Those are medicines that are derived from nature.
Right. And that takes me to another topic. When I was researching the show, and then I found out, I looked at the Special Olympics and I said, really? Because we always look at them as just providing a fun time, sports, and all this other stuff. But then they're also involved in ensuring that their athletes are healthy to the point where, what do they provide for healthcare?
Oh, yeah. So one of them, we are mostly known as that cute little track and field meet that you go to, and you have your cute Down syndrome neighbor who's running, and that's kind of what we're known for. But one thing most people don't know is that Special Olympics is the largest healthcare provider in the nation for individuals with intellectual disabilities. So one of the cool things you'll see if you come to one of our events, our state competitions, is we're doing health screenings on site. We're doing hearing screenings, dental screenings, overall physicals, neurological, eye screening. So we're laser cutting glasses on site, fitting athletes for orthotic shoes. We're also doing hearing aids. We're giving them those physicals. We're doing mental wellness checks on them because a lot of our athletes, as part of the intellectual disability, don't know how to cope with emotional situations. So we have healthcare providers on site who are teaching them coping mechanisms. Finish Line is a huge sponsor of ours, and they're out there giving free shoes to athletes who might not have the capability to purchase shoes that would make it so that they can run at our track meets. And so that's the one thing that a lot of people don't know about us. And it's, I think, the most impressive thing about our organization is that the magnitude and that we get all of these volunteers, these doctors, these clinicians are doing this for free. This is their own time. You have dentists coming from their office. They choose on a Saturday and a Friday to take time out of their schedule to come and screen for free our athletes. They're choosing to give these products away for free. Their time, their services, Finish Line's donating these shoes. These doctors are donating the hearing aids. And I think that's one thing a lot of people don't know about us is these are services that we're providing our athletes, because it all comes back to this message that they are told so often that they, and throughout their whole life, that they're different, that they don't get these same things. They don't get these same experiences. They don't get to be on a team. And it's like, we're here to tell them that whether financial, your disability, whatever it is, there's nothing that's going to hold you back from competing with us and living this thing that most people take for granted every day. And one of those is healthcare, and it's making sure that they're healthy enough to compete. All of our athletes have to have physicals done before they are allowed to compete, making sure they're healthy enough to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're making it so they have free physicals, that they can go and get these, and that money is not an issue holding them back or the accessibility to healthcare.
Right. I don't know about anybody listening, but I'm sitting here going, wow. I said, wow, when I saw it on the website, but I said, when you explain it, it's even bigger because it's free healthcare is something that we can't do as a nation, that the Special Olympics of the nation, I know right now we're talking about Arizona, but all over the nation, they're giving free healthcare to athletes. And Steve, we're piggybacking off of, okay, this is Special Olympics and they have volunteers. How important is it for a business to get involved in something like the Special Olympics?
I think it's very involved that all businesses need to get involved in their community in some way, shape, or form. I used to have a retail business where I was involved in the local high schools, junior highs, and elementary schools, participating as much as possible because they're part of my community. I'm part of their community. Yeah, they could be my customer, but what can I give back to my community? Right. And I was always, that was my whole mindset with my business. What am I giving back to my community to make it better because I'm part of it? Mm-hmm. And I think being part of something like Special Olympics, it besides, yeah, it helps give the volunteering side and it really does help the organization. I think it also gives your work, you and your employees a great sense of being part of something bigger than just your business.
Right.
You're part of something very emotional, very connecting. It's like if you, even if you go to the food bank or whatever to help and volunteer, just do it. It's part of the community. We're helping each other out here. And I think it's very important for any business owner and the business employees to get involved in the community in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And right now you're involved in SCORE as a mentor, which is also an organization that provides free service to startup businesses or businesses that exist right now. Tell us a little bit about SCORE and why you do that.
It was really easy because I one day woke up and said, wait a minute, I wanted to be working for a company going, I'm going to be the CEO of a big company one day. And as I went to college, I'm like, wow, they're all grooming me to be a worker. And my parents are entrepreneurs. Something's wrong here. And I said, why don't I change my mindset to own my own business? And at one point in time, I said, now where do I start? I had no clue. So I went to SCORE. They got me straight, started my first business, started my second business, third, six businesses later, and running three other people's businesses. I had now, I'm like, it's time for me to give back to where I started. So I became a SCORE mentor so I can help those who have helped me. Since that time, I've helped probably over 250 startups get up off the ground. Mm-hmm. I do workshops for SCORE. I just love helping people. You're passionate about entrepreneurship? Then I'm going to tell you the truth about it, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's up to you to make that decision. But if you do it, let's make you successful.
That's really great. What are some of the services they provide? And I know that you have a workshop once a month.
Yes.
Which you told us. And so what are the services, some of the steps that they take as a startup through?
They could do one-on-one mentoring. And there's mentors in every discipline you can think of in every industry. So there's a lot of retired executives from, say, nonprofits, retail. You can find the right mentor for you. Then there's workshops. I do conduct the ABCs of starting a business workshop mm-hmm. once a month. And this is for the people, I say, who want to jump the cubicle. Mm-hmm. Get out of the cubicle, want to do it for themselves. We give them the good, the bad, the ugly in 3 hours. It's like drinking from a fire hose. But then get with a mentor and break it down. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great workshops, everything from QuickBooks. All the workshops are there to help business owners grow their business and succeed. So take advantage of it because a lot of them are free. Some you have mm-hmm. to pay a little bit of nominal cost, but they're there to help a business owner grow and thrive.
Right. And is that what kind of keep you going back to SCORE is growing and thriving? I think I heard that before.
I love, you know, when I have some of my reoccurring mentees keep coming back. Okay, we hit that goal. And then I don't hear from them for 2 months. And then they come back. Okay, we got all that accomplished. And here's the results. And I'm like, holy cow, they were bigger than we thought. And they go, here's our next goal. Well, here, we're on the next path.
Yeah.
And I just love to see their growth and progression. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, when you were talking, I was thinking about growth and progression. Right now, I know in Toastmasters, they're talking about the 5-year strategic plan. Where I work, they're talking about the strategic plan. I saw a workshop on SCORE about strategic mm-hmm. planning. So, Annie, what is your strategic plan for your next 5 years?
Oh, goodness. that is a great question. I think always, especially in our business, there's 180,000 individuals in the state of Arizona who have an intellectual disability. And right now we service, I think, around 25,000 athletes. And our goal is always just to expand. How do we get bigger so we can provide these services for other individuals? And for me, it's how can I reach out more people? How can I spread our message? And for me, how can I have that message spread my personal growth as well. So I wish I had, I know you're supposed to look 5 years in the future, but right now I'm just so happy with where we are and growing that aspect of Special Olympics and making sure that we're reaching out to as many individuals as absolutely possible. Our goal is always just to reach those 180,000 and keep making that our goal.
So do you think just being better than you are now and before and just getting better and better every
event? Every event we do, it's always a new learning experience. You're like, oh, we should have had this many volunteers here. We needed this. Athletes needed that. We don't need this many here. And so every event we do is always a growing experience and a learning experience. And that's kind of what's fun about it is that no day is the same, even though we've been doing summer games for 20 years. Every summer games is different. There's always little issues that fall upon it. So that's one thing. We also are starting, this is our second year of doing a Capitol Lawn Day, which is where we go to the Capitol and talk with representatives, not an ask. We're not lobbying on behalf of anything. We're just telling them about Special Olympics. And it's part of our ultimate goal to keep reaching more people. And how do we get to more people throughout the state who don't necessarily know about what we do or what we can provide for them?
Right. And do you think just bypassing the ask, because they know that you are in need of funding and volunteerism, and just telling your story, that simple advocacy is actually working where they're more drawn to you?
Yeah, I think you get a lot of times just people asking for something. We're like, we don't want anything from you. We'd like for you to come see an event. We'd like you to come high-five the athletes, hear their stories. And our athletes are actually the ones meeting with these representatives. They're going out there shaking hands and telling them what their name is, what sports they play, and they're inviting them out to go to their events. And I think for us, our athletes are our biggest selling point because they're the ones who are always overcoming all of these obstacles and that are having fun and doing it. And so that's just our biggest goal always is just to help them improve their lives and to help them grow to their fullest potential, not be held back by a diagnosis or something they've been told that they should be doing at this point.
Right. I love that. So Danielle, I know you're only 14 years old, but I see so many possibilities in front of you because we've been where you are. And I'm pretty sure once in a while we'd like to go back. We don't want to go through the hard parts, but we'd like to go back so we would have that clear road in front of us. What is your plan, whether it's 5 years, 1 month, 1 hour?
Well, one thing I've always wanted to try is probably maybe a metal smithing class. I was thinking that maybe in the future I could create my own metal designs. I can make my own pendants and I can create my own beads. I could learn how to make my own chains. I could create everything myself and I can sell it on my own. I can also try branching out into other stores. Maybe I can find some more people to sponsor me. And probably I go to more farmers markets, more festivals, anything that you can set up booths and sell at. That's probably what I'll be doing in the future.
I love that energy.
Thank you.
I can feel the excitement because you're really inspired by what you do.
Yes, I am.
And that takes me to the dream and having a vision. And so what is your vision also?
My vision? My vision is probably making jewelry as long as I can. Maybe I can try to get it in a professional store. I could sell it. I can create my own website. Maybe I can create my own line. Maybe I can sell it to a higher company and they can wear it with their own clothes. I want to make it big. I want people to hear my name. I want to become a household name, a household brand.
Yeah. And isn't that what all of us want to do? I love that. That's a tweetable moment. I borrowed that from Oprah. I want people to hear my name. How about that? How do you guys feel? It's either your name or the organization's name, but they hear your name, you're always the brand. It's your brand and you're representing the organization. So your name should be synonymous with that organization. So what about, I know that we're a little bit older, but how does that resonate with you? I want them to hear your name, my name.
Well, I think it's important. You can spend your life building someone else's company, or you can build your company. You can build your brand, or you can build someone else's brand, or you can be a part of an organization that just fulfills you through making money. But maybe that company that you work for doesn't have a great outcome as far as the services they provide. And so you want to make whatever you do bigger than just everyday living. Whether you work for a company, then you want to make sure that you're having a great impact at that company. And if you run your own business, you want to have a good impact with that business. But you don't want to just be in a position where you're making money, but you're not happy. You may go to a job that you hate. and you're unhappy at work. You want to have bigger goals and dreams and aspirations and a bigger impact on people's lives wherever you are, whatever you do for a living.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about when you say dreams, I think about Walt Disney. What about you, Annie?
I think name ID is so important. I think that's one thing that we have an upper hand on in Special Olympics is that people mostly know who we are. We already bypass that first step when we walk in the door and introduce ourselves, that people know what we do for the most part. So when we start the conversation, we don't have to spend the time being like, oh, we service individuals with special needs and then we provide sports services. We get to jump to the fun stuff like, here's the healthcare we provide. We provide athlete leadership training, employment opportunities. And so we get a little bit more, I think, done when I go to these volunteer fairs and stuff or when we're describing our organization to companies because they know the basis of what we do. And then that's when you really get to show off after is like, here is what we do on top of what you think we do. So that's something that I think Special Olympics has done a great job with is that we're not just in the U.S., we're an international brand, and name brand is such an important thing of what we do is because when you hear Special Olympics, you know what it is, you know who it's providing for.
Oh, I like that. And so what countries are you in?
Oh, I think we're in about 200 or something.
Wow.
120. There's a lot, over 100. We actually have a member of our staff right now who's in Baku right now in Azerbaijan, and she is doing a health seminar over there and a leadership training. And then we have an athlete, another person on staff in DC who's doing a health seminar out there. And Special Olympics does such a good job internationally of bringing every single country and state together to really make sure that even though Special Olympics charters out all of their stuff, so Special Olympics Arizona is run differently than Special Olympics California. We all are under the Special Olympics umbrella. We have different rules we have to follow, but it's run differently. But they do a really good job of keeping everyone connected. Like, this is our message. This is what we come back to. These are programs we're implementing. And I think that goes back to that name ID is that it's the same Special Olympics in Azerbaijan as it is in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's something cool about what we do.
Yeah, that's like spreading the love.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, Steve, branding, as I know, we have Coach by Steve. All of your, let's say, social media, your email, everything's connected to your name and your coaching.
Right. Being independent, I am my brand.
Right.
So I try to uphold my brand to its highest standards, and I expect that even from my business partners that I do work with. And I think getting out in the community, that definitely helps on that. And some of the things like Warren was mentioning, it's like, you know, someone told me years and years ago, if you're not happy wherever you're at, stop it and think about what you're going to do and do something else. And he told me, if you go to a J-O-B and for 5 straight days, you're miserable, the 6-day walk out, just quit, because you're not helping anyone. You're making your life miserable and everyone around you, even though you don't know it, your life will be better. Everyone else's life will be better. So I believe fully it's like the way I look at it. It's I'm coming in every single day. I'm passionate about what I do. And I'm like, no, we're going to rock this today.
Right.
And I'm going to help you rock your business. Even if you're down, you're going to, all business owners have good days and bad days. And I'm the guy that they call on those bad days. And don't worry, we're going to get you out of the bad day. It's okay. We'll be fine.
Right. You're going to show up with that dynamic smile,
that's
right?
It.
Yeah.
And we're going to get them out of that funk right away. Don't bring me down. I'm not. I'm going to lift you up.
That's what it's all about. It's about lifting everybody up. And that's the common message that I'm hearing around here. Because I have the experience, well, let's say, one of the touching moments was when my friend, I spent one Saturday with her. I don't get to do this a lot, but you know, we got pedicures, got to sit there and gossip a little. But then my daughter, she does hair, and that's including hair weaving. She can make wigs and all of those things. And Sherry, she's like, you know, I woke up and she has cancer and my hair was coming out and I called you guys and I came over and you hooked me up and I walked out feeling like $1 million. And I really do appreciate it. And those right there are the little moments. It seems like a small moment to me because I was just sitting there hanging out while my daughter's working on her and making her beautiful and everything. But to the person on the receiving end, it's very important. It touches their lives in not selfish way, but in a special way. Mm-hmm. And is nice. That what you guys feel also? Is when you see when you're giving?
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. A lot of times people will have a specific need where I have access to different distributors and I can go and source products that I don't currently carry, but that person can't find the product anywhere else and I can purchase it for them and sell it to them just because it's a hard to find product. And you feel good that you've been able to help someone. It's not just, you know, the profit you gain on that sale may not even offset the amount of time invested in getting the product. But the fact that you were able to help someone, you have that feeling at the end of the day that you made a difference in someone's life. And that's important.
That's true.
Absolutely. I mean, just echoing off that, it's just that seeing that you can make a difference in people's lives, whether it's the lives of our athletes or just the lives I see of volunteers. I'm always amazed that when I finish a competition over the weekend, I always have dozens of emails from volunteers just saying, thank you so much. I needed this. And it's like, I think that's how I got hooked on Special Olympics is it's selfish. You think you go and do these things and you leave feeling better than when you showed up. And that's kind of the service we provide is not just for these individuals with intellectual disabilities. It's also for people who don't have a disability. They go and see this inspiration. They get this warmth that they need in their life. And that's why I say it. I chose this field is because you leave feeling happy. And these athletes, they bring that to you. They show you can do so much more than what you've been told. And I mean, it's just so much that we can give back to people. And that's what's so wonderful about the organization.
Mm-hmm. I think that's another tweetable moment. That's just show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, Steve?
Absolutely.
With a smile.
And get that, you know, good attitude that mm-hmm. goes far. And it's those little teeny changes that people make in their personal lives, business lives, that make huge impacts on someone else's life. It could be your customer service. If you walk into a coffee shop, that one person, and you're not down, maybe you're down, had hit every red light behind all the traffic, but that one person brightens your day just by saying welcome, give you something positive. It could change your whole attitude, your whole life just in that one moment. So always give that one moment to mm-hmm. someone else.
Yes, believe it or not, that's why I kept going back to Starbucks, although I probably needed to wean off the caffeine. It's because you walk in and they go, Enid, you want the Americano, yeah. right? I said, that's right. And so I come back because it makes me feel good, yes. right? It's not about what you said or what you did. It's about how they make you feel. And it was the same thing going through the drive-through. I wanted to see that little lady at McDonald's hand me my coffee and say good morning. She just made me feel so good. And is that what you aspire to do, Danielle, is make people happy and feel good?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And I've had people tell me that adults that come to me, they say, I've had this dream for a while, but I've always been hesitant to do this. But seeing you at such a young age, being able to do this, it gives me the inspiration to come and go forward with my goals. And that always makes me feel so happy that I'm inspiring people that are older than me to aspire to their goals. And even with people my own age, they'll want to do something, but they maybe think that they're too young or they might mm-hmm. not have the time. And I'll tell them that I found a way. And if I could, that you'll be able to, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I base the journey on also, is people being able to look at you and what you do and say, oh, I can do that. I can make this happen. And that's kind of why we tell our story, so then people can see, oh, I can do that too.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And that's basically why I make most of my jewelry. Well, it's not why I make most of it, but it's what keeps me going whenever I get discouraged, knowing that people look up to me and that I'm inspiring others to pursue their goals.
Mm-hmm. And I caught on to that, what you said, when you get discouraged, what do? Because we all go through that, you know. And so can I hear from somebody, what do you do? Because I need to know to just keep up. So then you don't let maybe a comment or an event kind of take you down or out.
I'll take this one. One thing I think is important is always to have a life outside of work. And I'm sure that there is someone sitting right next to me. You could touch on this a little more. But for me, I've always found my outlet's always been working out. But I think for me, when there's bad days or things you want to get over, having a life outside of work where you're not going to sleep, eat, breathe, sleeping your job, that to me has been my outlet.
Absolutely. And I always think of having a mentor or a coach, because I have a coach too. How uh-huh. can I be a coach if I don't have a coach? But if I come across one of those days I'm just not feeling it, I'll just call them up. I'm not feeling it. They kind of snap me out right away. And it kind of gets me back on my game. And I just love it. It takes maybe 30 seconds. It could take 5 minutes. But it gets me back on track. And I just feel great. And they also call me up with their bad days too. So it works in a great relationship. Just having that one person or working out because you're in a community or going hanging out with friends. You can have the world's worst day at work. Hang out with friends. Guess mm-hmm. what? It all goes away.
Yes. That's so true. Good movie or something, right?
Yeah. For me, it's perseverance and being an overcomer. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I may look back to see where I've come from.
Right.
To remind me I've already come a long way. So mm-hmm. then I just keep pushing. And I expect obstacles and I expect things to not go well. And that's typically how it goes. But at the end of the day, I'm able to overcome most of the obstacles and still continue to be successful. So it's just keep on pushing.
That's great. We're getting ready to close out, but before we close out, I'd like to hear about how people can contact you, Steve, Annie, Warren, and Danielle. If you can start off, Steve.
Sure. My website is bizcoachsteve, B-I-Z, coachsteve.com. I also have an e-learning site, which is Feld Business Growth, because I do have an online platform for some of my entrepreneurs. And then my email is really hard. It's steve@coachstevefeld.
I love it.
And I'm available on Twitter, Facebook. That's about it.
That's about it.
YouTube.
Yes.
Best way to reach out to me is always email. I am Annie@SpecialOlympicsArizona.org. And volunteer opportunities we post on our website, which is SpecialOlympicsArizona.org/volunteer.
Yay.
Well, thank you first, Enid, for allowing me to be a part of this great conversation. And the best way to reach me is through my website, which is medsfromnature.com. And that's M-E-D-S from nature.com, medsfromnature.com.
The best way to reach me is probably from my Facebook page, dnddrawing.com. And you can also find me at Sassy's Beauty Supply Store in Arizona and Chandler.
Right. And then I also want to say that it's sponsored by Divinity Salon. That's in Tucson, Arizona at 3402 East Broadway. And you can find us at DivinitySalonAZ.com and just look at all the beautiful things that are happening. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me today. And that would be thanking our guests, Danielle, Warren, Annie, and Steve, you made my day so special and you filled my heart with all of this new information because it's not just about being in business. It's not about being about business, but it's about inspiring others and being a part of something much greater than yourselves and also being an inspiration and having your testimony so others can learn from it. And that, I say, my friends, is Journey Radio for today. Thank you.